Main text will be Psalms 40, and I call it a glimpse of Gethsemane. Before we get there, I'd like to talk about one of the qualities of our Lord. Something I have a problem with sometimes is I forget that He was a man. If you ain't careful when you study the Lord and you look at His miracles, you got to remember everything He did, none of it was in the might of the flesh. Everything He ever accomplished was by faith through the Spirit and the Father. He was in the same frame as me and you. He was made in the flesh. As a matter of fact, we know He got tired. He rested at the well. We know He got thirsty. He said, "I thirst." We know He got weary in every sort. He wasn't like Clark Kent walking around secretly knowing He was Superman, knowing that nothing could hurt Him. It's quite the opposite. He had a Bible and He read it, and He believed it. He believed by faith that He was the Son of God.
Amen.
He didn't feel like the Son of God, didn't look like what you'd call the Son of God. It said he wasn't nothing you would esteem Him, but He was the Son of God. You could say Jesus had faith. He had to believe it. The reason I say that is Hebrews tells us in chapter 11 that without faith it's impossible to please God. And we know He pleased God. As a matter of fact, the Father said, "This is My Son in whom I'm well pleased." And you said, "Well, that was before Calvary." Well, we have in Isaiah, it says it pleased Him to bruise Him. And so therefore, he was pleased. It took faith of Christ willing to let Himself be bruised. You see, He had already read that in Isaiah. He had already read that, knew what was going to happen. He also knew the expectation was to not open His mouth. You know how hard it'd be? Me to tell you, I'm going to nail you to a post and torture you. And you're not to let out a peep if you love them. He didn't let out a peep. As a lamb to the slaughter. 16, you say, did he follow through? Spoiler. Psalm 16 said, pleasures forever and ever at His right hand. Talking about the Father. That's where He's at. He's still pleased. So Jesus in Luke chapter 4, this is where I'm going to ease us into it. We know that He had just been baptized by John and began His earthly ministry, immediately driven by the Spirit into the wilderness, tempted by the devil. The devil had never seen Him in such a weak state, clothed in flesh. He would come out of the wilderness after the fast and go to His local church. Verse 16 of chapter 4 says, and He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up. He went to His local church. As His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. We know we've been reading Isaiah, amen. And He said, and when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He hath anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's my verse for Rock of Ages, by the way. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And He closed the book and gave it to the minister and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him, and He began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He said, that book right there, that's Me. And so, now we go to Psalms 40. In Psalms chapter 40, it's a psalm of David. David was in some kind of a valley. And you'll find twice David's, maybe probably more than twice. I know Brother Paul called him a prophet and Peter called him a prophet, both in Acts. So he was also a prophet. And here he was in some kind of valley. He might have had the mullet grubs. And the Lord said, you want to see a valley? I'll show you a valley. Amen. As the preacher said this morning, look at what somebody else has going on. He said, David here is having a bad day, I guess, and all these things would be true for David, but they're even more true. They're look at our Lord Jesus in Psalms 40. He's literally getting to see the very thoughts and prayer and utterance of Christ as he's taken on that terrible task. It starts this way. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Yes, David was heard of the Lord many times, but I believe right here he's getting a glimpse of Gethsemane. This is what I call it. Some of it takes place at Calvary and beyond, but it starts here in Gethsemane. I believe the event he's talking about is Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. We'll be back in Psalms. It says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. To the best, this is just off my memory, I may be wrong, I believe that's called the crushing place, similar to Gath, which means to crush, Gethsemane. It's the place where the weight's going to come on. Then cometh Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Oh, he's looking at this thing standing before him that he has to do, and he's the only one that can. Oh, and what a task. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. When he was in full glory, he said, I will go. But now he's in the form of flesh. He's as a man. Oh, what a big task it looks like in this feeble frame. He said, sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, he looks to his friends, these disciples, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He says, fellas, I feel like it's so heavy I'm about to die.
Come on, brother. Thank you, Lord.
And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Boy, can't get no help. Feel like he's about to die. Nobody, dearest brethren in the world, can't, won't even stay awake with him. Sometimes my men, even though they're packed in like sardines, they tell me they feel so lonely. Tell them there's one that understands, even if cat don't. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. If they wouldn't help him, he had to get his help from somewhere else. Amen. So, behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed to the hands of sinners. We find what happened on that third prayer in Luke. In Luke chapter 22, verse 39, this would be that third prayer. This is the whole Gethsemane account of Luke. It says, verse 39 of chapter 22 of Luke, it says, and he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto, I'm glad it says at the place. He had a regular spot. Amen. Got to go to my picnic table a while ago. Amen. I've been missing it bad as people. Amen. And he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared Here's his help. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. I don't know what that angel said. One of his servants said, that's his servant, that angel. He sent from the Father. I don't know if he said anything. He might have just said, we're with you. I don't know what the lingo was. He might have said, you got this, like we would today. I don't know. But heaven showed him he's on his side. And being in an agony, knowing heaven's on his side, already in an agony, being in an agony, he's already just dying under this load. But then it says, look, he geared down, amen. It says he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Ain't that like people? The reason they were sleeping was for sorrow. They felt so helpless, they just went to sleep. Ain't that sometimes what you do in a bad situation? Don't even want to get up. Want to pretend like yesterday never happened. And he said unto them, lost my spot. It's the same thing there. He's ready to go now. Here comes Judas as soon as he comes back. Here comes Judas and that group coming. And then becomes the start of the task. Took her sin on him. Psalms 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Going back and praying the same thing three times. Pretty patient. And he says, he inclined unto me and heard my cry. If nothing else, that angel showing up showed him that heaven heard. So now he's got all this piled up on him. What's on him, you say? My sins? All of them. All of them. Your sins? All the sins that's ever been. From the first man to the last man. Oh, he says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Oh, how that weighed him down. Those miry clay and the old style prisons was just a silo of block, and they would throw a man or lower him down in there, and it's just a silo of stone. Your waist would pile up in the mud. You see Jeremiah in one of those. That's how this was. The sin. Nowhere to get, no way out but up. That's the old style dungeon. Just a stone silo. Throw them down in there, throw some groceries in, don't worry about nothing coming out. No plumbing. Oh, he said, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. See, he believed by faith he can make it through this. Let me show you the verse that tells us that. I'm skipping ahead a touch, but I want you to see it. Says in in John 10, just going to read one verse there. It's John chapter 10. Christ knows he can lay his life down and that he can take it back up. It says it in verse 17. He says, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. He knows he's going to be able to get back up. The only thing he has to say so is the say-so of the Father. Next verse says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Amen. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And this is where he knows that power comes from. This commandment have I received of my Father. Amen. He says, I can do it because he says so. He got a new song, amen, in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Man, he shall see it in fear. Shall trust in the Lord. Oh, he was seen by many when he conquered death, hell, and the grave. He says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. And respecteth not the proud, nor much as turn aside the lies. He says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. Everywhere you look, wonderful things of this world, even our ability to take breath is miraculous. And as we look at this, though them snowflakes have fallen, no two match. A crystal formed out of water around a speck of dust, and no two match. And they'll gather up and paint the world white. Amen. Oh, don't tell me it ain't miraculous. Amen. I hope the state ain't funding somebody to find two crystals that match, because it'll never be done. Amen. He says, oh, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. Oh, there's better, sweeter things than that. And thy thoughts which are to usward. Not just thoughts towards me, the Son, but thoughts towards we, usward. Anybody that believe on Him. Actually, anybody that also wouldn't believe on Him. He's thought of them all. His thoughts. I tell my men, they are bad to think God don't know where I'm at. God don't know nothing about me, da-da-da-da, yada-yada-yada. They do that on the street too, not just in prison. I said, He's been thinking about you. He's been thinking about you. How much has He thought about me? It tells us. He says, oh. Oh, glory. About to get happy, boys. He says, and thy thoughts which are to usward. Look, how much and how often has He thought of us? Amen. Not just old Chap Patterson. I'm talking about you. Amen. Everybody in here, everybody on that street, everybody down that road, everybody in Goose Creek, Alaska. How much has He thought about them? It says they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. I can't number them, and if I could, I wouldn't know what order to put them in. I don't know how many times He thought about you. It's more than I can say. I don't know what He thought about first, where you're at, or where you could be, but He thought about you. Got plans for you. Amen. Amen. He said, I can't even tell you what order His thoughts are about you. And then He says, if I would declare to speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. How many times has the Lord thought of you more than can be numbered? What kind of thoughts are they? Isaiah 55 says, verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. If I could tell you what order He thought them, or how many He did, I couldn't even tell you how good they are. Amen. He's got a spot picked out for you. Oh, glory to God. Amen. In other places, it says His thoughts are of peace to give us an expected end. If you only knew what He thinks about you if you surrender. Oh, cause that darling son. Amen. Oh. Then we get to this next part. What a strange thing. He says, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burn offering and sin offering hast thou not required. We're going to be here just a minute. Our God, He's not a bloody God. He's not pleased by wrath, but wrath has to be satisfied. He's a just God. What God loveth and says is righteousness. Root word of that, right. God loves right things. Anything crooked He can't stand, He's going to make it right. He loves things to be right. He's going to make them right because He loves right. Amen. Therefore, blood is required because of sin. So it'll make it right. Amen. He says, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Amen. What does the Lord prefer over that? Well, according to 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?"
Amen.
Amen. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. He wants somebody. He just wants somebody to believe him.
Amen.
That's what he wants, obedience. With the one that knows it all not be right. He wants obedience. He wants to be believed even more than correction for sin. Oh, as a matter of fact, as we're looking here, he says that sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. That ain't really what he's after. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. This is quoted directly in Hebrews 10. These two verses. Go over to Hebrews 10. I hope I marked it. Hebrews 10. He says, he says in verse 4 of Hebrews 10, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, that's how you know this psalm is about Jesus. This is him saying it. "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." It took sinless flesh. Amen. In her place of us to take our place.
Amen.
He says that burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. There's the quote directly from Psalms. He says, then said I, the rest of the quote, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." There's only one that can satisfy it for all eternity. And that's him. And he stepped out of heaven in that flesh. And in that weak form at night, he's looking at that task at hand. He said, "Oh, I can't handle it. Oh," but he kept saying, "Not my will, but thine. Oh, I don't want to tell him no. I don't want to tell him no." And then he remembered, "Oh, I come in the volume of a book. It is written of me." He said, "Oh, you realize this thing covers all about one thing. And that's a darling son of God named Jesus that came to this earth and died for you because he loved you. Because he's been thinking about you." Amen. Oh. Oh, glory to God. If I don't say yes, that book won't mean nothing. He had to say yes. Amen. Oh, glory. Oh. I like that little part that wasn't quoted in the Hebrews. The "mine ears hast thou opened." "Mine ears hast thou opened." What a strange thing in the middle of that verse. It's not the same word in Exodus, but this word right here, it's the word kara. It means to dig, bore, or open. Turn with me to Exodus 21. Exodus 21, back under the law. This is pertaining to the law of servants. And it says this, "Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing." That's Exodus 21, verse 1 and 2 is what I just read. So this is the law of the servant. So a man, if you didn't have the money for pay for something, you could sell yourself for 6 years. And be a servant, a slave for a set amount of time to pay a debt. And then it says this about that man. And it says, "And if he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him." So if a man had a wife and owed a debt and said, "I give myself to pay the debt," he was already married, him and her both leave. If he came in by himself and he wanted to leave by himself, he could do that too. But then it says, "If his master hath given him a wife, and she hath borne him sons or daughters. The wife and her children shall be her masters. And he shall go out by himself. So if a man wanted to, and the master had given him a wife, and he had a family, but he still wanted to leave, he could. But then it says this. It says, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him into the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Y'all get that? Let's go back to that psalm. He said, mine ears hast thou opened. He said, master, I love you. And you remember where he gets his... You remember where Jesus gets his bride, don't you? From the Father. And he said, I love that bride you give me. And I love them children you give me. He said, mine ear hast thou opened, amen. Oh, glory! He said, I love them and I want to keep them forever! Oh, he looked through time. Oh, by faith, he knew what he'd get. He'd get whosoever will. I like it, don't you? Oh, boy. Oh. He knowed the book was about him. He knowed the whole book was about him. He said there in Hebrews, he saith. Amen. Here. And then he said it before he was even born. He said it and David wrote it down. Ain't that good? Old David's in a valley. He said, let me show you a valley. Then said, I, lo, I come. And the volume of the book, it is written of me. And then he says this, I delight to do thy will. There's something, that thing, he says, if you will, not my will, but thy will. Not only am I going to do it, but I'm going to delight in it. I'm going to delight in it. He didn't delight in all parts of it. There's one part he despised. The shame. Hebrews 12:2. Amen. Hebrews 12:2. It says, It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He didn't enjoy. Think of all things you're ashamed of. And think of him. He was born of a virgin. There's no Adam in him. He never sinned. He never had anything to be ashamed of. And all of a sudden in this cup is every shame you've ever had, every shame that's ever been had. Could you imagine how much worse, you think how bitter it is to you, the things you're ashamed of that you don't rejoice to drink of. I don't know, but there's thoughts I've had I wouldn't dare want no one to know. And actions and failures. And they're awful. How much worse if I wasn't even the guilty one? Since he became sin, who knew no sin? He took our shame. He never even knowed shame, and he took it on him. Oh, how he must have despised it. But the joy that set before him. Ain't he good? Amen. He says he delighteth to do the will of the Father. I delight to do thy will. Oh, my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Even Jesus had to memorize verses. Amen. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. His whole life was a sermon. He preached to everybody. He even went and preached to them in darkness. He preached to everybody. Amen. There'll be nobody in heaven he didn't preach to. And there'll be nobody in hell that he didn't preach to either. Amen. There's not even no good preaching unless he's doing it. Amen. He says, I preach righteousness in the great congregation. I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. He says, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. He died for everyone. He says, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. You got to remember, he's believing by faith and the promise of the Father that he's getting back up when he lays this life down. Same Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the one that stirred that body back up. And the same one we have as an earnest. That's why you don't have to be scared of death. Amen. Same Holy Ghost that stirred up Jesus' body is the one you have.
Amen.
Shouldn't that make you bold?
Come on, brother.
He says, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continue to preserve me. He says, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities. He had no sin of his own. But he claimed our sin as his. As a matter of fact, he says, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. We already confirmed this is Jesus. What's it talking about? My iniquities. I believe that'd be 2 Corinthians 5. I didn't mark this one. 2 Corinthians 5. I think it's verse 21. It says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took our sin and made it his. And it was so more much, it was more than the hairs of his head, innumerable, the word just said. He says, they are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart faileth me. He says, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Oh, when he got up, you want to talk about an ashamed crowd. It says, every knee shall bow, and every mouth will profess it. Daddy tells me a story as a little boy. I don't remember the incident, but there was an altercation over some toys, I think. And his first cousin. And my papa made him walk down there and tell him he was sorry. And he said that was the awfulest thing. He said even as a kid, that pride of having to go tell him he was sorry. Can you imagine so much worse if you've rejected him or you actively warred against him and you got to look at truth right in the eyes? They'll be driven backward, all right, and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. Desolate, abandoned, no hope. He says, then he changes. He says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Make him big. Make him so big he's all you see. He says, but I am poor and needy. Jesus knew he couldn't get up on his own. He couldn't climb out of that grave on his own. He surrendered by faith to the will of the Father. He says, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. I believe this was his very utterance in preparation for what was at hand. That's why he says it the way he does. Make no tarrying. He hadn't laid down his life yet when these words, I know David wrote them beforehand as a prophet, but they were the words of Christ, as Hebrews plainly said. So did the Father keep his word? Let's look at him now. Revelations 1. Let's look at him now. In Revelations 1, old brother John, he was there the night he was snoozing while Jesus was under that great weight. He was there that night. While Jesus was in that weakest form he's ever been or ever will be, old brother John laid that head on his chest and listened to that heart beating, heart just like his. Old John seen him in the flesh. He seen him after the resurrection. And he gonna see him again. Amen. Right here. Amen. Did the Father keep his word to the Son? He says, let's see, I gotta see where he hears that voice and turns around there. Let's see, where's that at? Oops, I'm not there yet. That'd be why I can't find it. He says in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am an Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps of the golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. I've been trying to coach my boys, trying to promote the King James. Boy, it's a tough battle. Just so much trash, and they just don't. That one boy says, boy, I like that if. I like that if. And I'm like, what's he talking about? And then I realized, he said, that ETH you told us in the King James, that means that eth, it means always, now, and forever. When you see that in your Bible, that's what that means. It means, amen. When you see he loveth, it means he did love you, he does love you, and he's going to love you. Right here, when you see, I am he that liveth, that means he was alive, he is alive, and he's always going to be alive. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead. He was only dead once, but he ain't no more. Amen. 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 You reckon did the Father not do what he said? Amen. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. A glimpse of Gethsemane. First John 3:8 tells us he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. That poor old devil worked that hard and it's all for nothing. Amen. Amen. It's like knocking over somebody's dominoes before they're done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
He ain't in that weak frame no more. The devil did his best when Christ was at his weakest. And he won. He won for me. And he won for you. And one for whosoever will.
Amen.
Thank you. I'm done, preacher.
Thank you, Lord.